Welcome to another episode of the Blue Crew, a New York Rangers podcast on the Believe Podcast Network. I know it's been a while since we've all talked to you. I'm Johnny Lazarus, and I'm joined by my good friends Cody Frankel and Avery Zaretsky. We apologize for also joined by Griffin Frankel as well, the newest member of the squad. Looking cute as hell over there in his chair. He's probably, what, 2 months old now?
Close. Almost four.
Close. Oh, fuck, really?
Four months already? Yeah, dude. He's three and a half months today.
It feels like it's been not that long.
It's been fucking long, dude.
Yeah. Well, either way, it's great to be back on with you boys. I know it's been a while, and I just want to apologize to all the listeners that have been waiting around for an episode. Just, I think all of us trying to figure out life right now, I guess, after New Year's. Like, it's been pretty wild, I think, for all three of us for many different reasons. Avery's just a club guy now, partying in Puerto Rico and hitting live and 11 and just fully embraced the Miami culture. I don't even know who wants to start. I'm going to hand this off to one of you guys.
It's been a really good new year. Had a really good birthday. 26 now, over the 25 hump. I'm getting old.
Health insurance.
Nice.
Yep. Figure that out.
I'm on the turn. And yeah, no, I'm having fun going to clubs, but Puerto Rico is work, brother. Puerto Rico, I go there for work. That's a work trip. I know it looks like I have fun, but there's also work to be done. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's only fun. It's only fun out there. But my boss does live out there. So
dope, dude.
How's fatherhood treating you?
It's great. Got a birthday this weekend, and now all my plans are ruined since my wife has COVID. So hell yeah. Adulthood.
All right. Well, should we go into some Ranger stuff? I mean, what was going on the last time we even recorded?
2 weeks ago?
I don't know, but forget all that and let's talk about the good stuff. So They were on a 4-game skid. They got out of it, rebounded pretty nicely the last two games. Igor looked really sharp against the Capitals, which I think all fans wanted to see. Last night against the Kraken, the boys played really, really well, I thought, overall. Want to hear your thoughts on both those two games. Let's not worry about the bad games and let's kind of talk about the good stuff, and then we'll get into
Last night's game was weird. The building's energy was just so off the entire night. I don't know what it was. I was there. I have my press pass back now, so I'm at
you
the
got revoked.
Well, no, I left the hockey news. So I mean, we could talk about that too. I don't know if you want to talk about that, but a lot of people, like, I had some guys chirping, like thinking I got fired. I left the hockey news. I'm with the Daily Faceoff now. It's just a better opportunity for me. I'm doing a morning show every Monday to Thursday, and I'm covering the league more as a whole. So I'm at every Ranger game, but MSG is more of like a hub now for me to like do my work. So like last night, you know, I went to the game and my story was on the Kraken. So I spoke to the Kraken's head coach, Dave Haxtell, spoke to Jordan Eberle after the game. So I'm kind of just like at MSG doing whatever like storyline kind of works for that night. You know, like my initial plan for my first assignment was to talk about Connor Bedard, but it turned out to be Brendan Hoffman's NHL debut. So that became the story. And Bedard didn't really do much in that game. So, you know,
yeah, he only broke his jaw. It's fine. It's fine.
That wasn't against the Rangers.
It's fine.
Cody, you're such a bad person. Like, I was actually enjoying Johnny's story of his new progression in his NHL life, and you're just there just trying to make me laugh. It's okay.
Well, I do, dude. I was listening into all of it and feeding
into it. This is Johnny's career, Cody. We have to be accepting and happy.
Be respectful, Cody. Yeah.
Yes.
No more Johnny Lazarus of the hockey news, though. For
Johnny Lazarus on the Daily Faceoff.
There it is. I like that one better.
That is better. It actually has a nice ring to it. But yeah, it's been, you know, it's been a nice adjustment, a little bit different. So I'm not covering the team like day to day, but it's been fun.
I think we can all agree that that's, you know, you've taken a step up and it's a great opportunity, and yeah, happy for you.
Where's the insult? There's an insult coming.
It's coming.
No.
All right, you're gonna let it slide for now.
Yeah.
Okay. So what I was gonna get into, though, I know there was a lot of concern about Igor Shesterkin. In his last two games, however, he's beaten the Capitals. He's beaten the Kraken. Has only allowed 3 goals in those two games. A .946 save percentage. A 1.50 goals against average. And can he maintain this is the question with how the Rangers have played defensively. That's been the biggest issue right now. I've seen a lot of blame on Igor, and I know Avery and I are not going to blame Igor. I don't know where Cody stands on this.
That's because you two are a bunch of bitches. So listen.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get into it. Yep.
No.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You opened it up. Let's do it.
Yep. I'm going to, because you can't not blame Igor to an extent. I think if you want to shroud some of the blame on the defense, totally. They have not played well whatsoever. They were kind of, you know, out of sync a little bit, right? Fox was coming back from injury. He had a really rough stretch until he scored a pair of goals against, was like that against the Capitals?
That's like six games. Yeah.
So he was on a really rough stretch. He was not playing well at all, but he was hurt.
With those goals, though, I don't want to cut you off, but even with those goals that he scored in the last like six games, he's still not the Foxy that we've seen.
Totally. I think last night was the first game I saw him play really well. I thought he played really well last night. He had a pair of assists, and he was looking a little bit more like himself. But there's five other guys that can take blame as well, right? Like, I actually think Trouba's been playing pretty well this year. I mean,
he's been the most consistent.
I think he's been the most consistent. Gus Bus looked really good for a while, and then he kind of fell off a little bit, and you know, he's shown some consistency these last few games. Don't even get me started on Keandre, because we're going to talk about that in a couple minutes. Mm-hmm. But totally think some of the blame can be laid on Igor. I mean, he has not looked himself. He is a top three goalie in the league and hasn't looked like it all year. But then you see specks of the greatness, like he played against the Capitals. I thought the team didn't play well at all, but I thought he played fantastic. And I thought he played really well last night. So hopefully a corner's turning, but I think to not lay any bit of the blame on Igor is insane to me. I think it's insane. I think at least 40% of the blame is on him, and then 60% is on the defense.
I don't fully disagree with you. Like, the
Avery's
thing about
ready to Igor, fucking throw hands.
Avery, you want to step in first before I go?
No, you can go, Johnny.
I was going to say, the thing about Igor and what we're all not forgetting but missing, we're used to seeing him make the saves that he probably shouldn't even be making. Like, that's what's happened over the last 2 years, where, you know, a lot of the Rangers' success has overshadowed what was wrong with them. You know, I think in the beginning of this year, they were defending really well and they were struggling to create offense. Now they're not really struggling to create. They've struggled a little bit to score consistently, but they're not defending well at all. They're very loose in the D zone. And you could sense the teams they play. Like, I think they allowed similar chances last night against the Kraken that they allowed against a team like the Canucks, but the Canucks are so much more skilled and so much better offensively that those mistakes cost them way more than they did last night against Seattle. But Igor has always bailed them out. This year he hasn't. And I think that's the difference that we're seeing, is that it's not a different group in front of him per se, but he's not making the saves that he shouldn't have made in the past. I think I've lost myself.
No. You're on par. Yeah. And I understand what you're saying. I think the most frustrating thing for me, and I'm sure a lot of other fans as well, is you look at three back-to-back games against the Capitals, against the Blues. And then who did they play before the Capitals? They played, I was literally
Montreal,
Montreal. And then they played one more team too, right?
Carolina, they lost to pretty bad.
Yeah, Carolina, whatever. Anyways.
Let me look. It was the Canucks. They lost in home.
Canucks. I was at the Canucks game. Yeah. So they lost all these games and they pretty much outplayed the other team in every single metric except for goaltending. So if you looked at the Canucks, you know, for example, like if you looked at goals, if you looked at hits, if you looked at shots on goal, if you looked at block shots, every single one, face-offs, the Rangers pretty much dominated. And this was a consistent, you know, play for three or four games. So I think the infuriating thing is, and the offense, as you said, we're putting up goals, at least three goals most nights, which should give you a chance to win. And we were losing every game. And not only were we losing, we were getting blown out. And I think that is the most frustrating things to fans. You know, if you're losing these games 4-3, 3-2, 2-1, fine, right? Shit happens. But I think games that you should have won, and not only didn't you win, but you got blown out, and it's the blame is directly on the goaltending and defense, I think that's what infuriates fans. But I know Avery has probably a whole bunch to say.
Yeah, he's sitting quiet over there. I don't know the fuck's going on.
No, I don't. Ruined, I don't.
Brewmaster.
I don't feel like I need to go over the top again like I have in previous times. I feel like I'll just sound like a broken record, but it's just disappointing to me seeing fans jump on Igor when, like Johnny and I have said in the past, how he's just bailed the team out time and time again. And I always think it's a coward's way out to go after the goaltender. I mean, that there's five guys in front of him that should be performing, and obviously he's the last guy in front of the net and he has to make the saves. Mm-hmm. And I think he has made the saves. And then I also think that if you look at this team, you know, top three in the league right now, without just let's just say hypothetically we're in a situation like Edmonton where they haven't had a good goaltender in God knows how long. Like you just have to appreciate what we have. And the fact that we've gone from Lundqvist to Shesterkin, like, yeah, maybe he hasn't put up the Vezina numbers he has, but to jump on him and say that, like, he's the reason why we're losing games, like, it's just not.
But
it's just not in the cards. I don't think that that's the right thing to do. I think that you just blame the team as a whole. Like, I don't like pointing fingers.
But you can't blame the team as a whole, because I don't think the offense is to blame. Like, I think the offense is
definitely can't blame the Trocheck line.
I think the offense has done their job. You know, outside of the Capitals game where they went like 0-for-5 on the power play, the offense has been doing their job. If you want to blame Igor and the defense, and you want to blame, you know, the defensive side collectively, I think that's okay. But like,
I disagree on a power play heavy team when we rely heavily on our power play. I think we're like 4 for our last 31. I don't know necessarily.
They're still putting up goals though.
Yeah, but like this,
they're dominating offensive metrics.
But if you want to go metrics wise, this team hasn't been good 5-on-5 in the last 10 years. We've been heavily relying on our power play, and when our power play goes 4 for whatever in our last 10 games, it's not good. And to just sit back and blame Igor, like, we're a power play reliant team. We have to embrace that because we just haven't been good 5-on-5. It's just not the case.
Yeah, but I'm not only blaming Igor. I'm blaming Igor and the defense. I think it's a collective effort there, and I think both are to blame for sure. But I think to kind of shy away completely from Igor based on what he's done for us in the past, I think you can't do. You can't do that in any sport. Doesn't mean I don't love Igor. I love Igor. I want him to be good. I love what he's done the last two games. I think he's on the up and up. I'm not worried about him at all. I know a lot of fans are. He hasn't been himself this season, his true elite Igor self, but doesn't mean he can't get there, right? Like, Hank wasn't elite every single season. There were seasons where he was a little bit off, and then come playoffs, he was a brick wall. So it's like, I think he'll figure it out. It's not something that I'm too concerned about, but I think to lay blame like away from just him, that's fine. But I think it's kind of a collective effort with him in the defense, at least in my eyes. Like, I know we're power play heavy, but I still think the offense is doing their job and scoring goals.
Well, here's the issue with what you just said also, which is actually Cody agreeing with you over Avery. The last two games you said Igor is on the up and up, which he's been fine. He's let up 3 goals in those 2 games, like I said, 0.946. But those two teams are the 27th ranked offense, Seattle Kraken, and the 30th ranked offense, Washington Capitals.
Who, like, smoked us the game before.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not. Yeah. He made the saves he had to, but if the Rangers are playing the Hurricanes, who are top 10 offense right now, the Canucks, who are the best offense.
Oh, I agree. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Like, those games, he hasn't been very good. And I think a lot of it has to do with the opponent that the Rangers are playing, where, you know, last night's game, the mistakes they make in the D zone don't look as bad, because the opponent isn't as dangerous offensively. But when you play against a team like Vancouver and you play against a team like Carolina and you make those mistakes, it looks pretty fucking bad.
Dude, I don't know about you guys, but like, I wasn't that impressed with the Canucks. Like, I watched that game and let me talk. Outside of that second goal, which was absolutely...
The Canucks game was... Ooh, I have to cut you off. The Canucks game was probably the most embarrassing the Rangers have looked the entire season.
Dude, I personally don't, I'm not saying the Rangers look good, because they didn't. I'm saying the Rangers look so bad that it made the Canucks look good, but I wasn't that impressed with the Canucks.
You didn't like Elias Pettersson's dance around Igor and Nils?
I just said, except for that fucking goal.
Bro, Demko's having like a Vezina season.
They danced around us, dude.
Dude, I'm just saying.
Vancouver's very good.
Yeah, they're sick.
Okay.
Bad take.
Dude, I don't know. Okay.
Hey, you're allowed to have your opinions. Just, they're shit.
I mean, Demko saved 39 shots.
You made Cody speechless finally.
Demko saved 39 shots. Igor saved 20. Just saying. They scored.
Yeah, no. The Rangers played fine offensively. They just made way too many mistakes defensively, and it cost them. The mistakes, like, that's what Laviolette said after that game, is that the mistakes were loud. Like, when you play against a team with that much skill, you can't make those mistakes.
If Rangers can play team defense like they did in the third period last night, they'll be very good the rest of the season. I thought they looked great in the third period. They shut them down besides that power play goal, but other than that, they look great.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that power play goal was pretty easy as well for Jared McCann. He walked right in, went backhand shelf.
It was nasty. Like,
untouched. But I want to talk about
Vince Igor's fault too. Sorry.
Eh.
No, it was not. It was not.
He could have stopped that one. I didn't think it was the strongest backhand. I mean, but McCann comes in untouched again. Let's move over from Igor though. I want to talk about something that I saw a lot of on Twitter last night, and I'm sure we all are on the same page about this. I'm all for putting Alexis Lafreniere, giving him some reps on the first power play, but it seems like everyone wants to take Mika off of it. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Why?
I was getting so many tweets last night, like, take Mika off. His one-timer's not hitting. Like, take him off.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever fucking heard in my life. I'm sorry. That's worse than the pretty popular opinion I just had.
Don't try to get away from that.
No, it is, because you know what? I was at that fucking Canucks game, and I wasn't that impressed with them. I'm just going to say it. I wasn't that impressed with them. Outside of that one goal, I wasn't that impressed with them. And that's
Were you boozing up at the game?
Yeah, I for sure was boozing up, but I still wasn't that impressed with them.
Impressed with who?
The Canucks, he's saying still.
Oh. I thought you were talking about like a Ranger player. I thought you were off of that. But no, I think Mika's an amazing player, and I could see why people would want to take him off, but that's never going to happen. I mean, that's the whole premise of our power play one. Yeah, first of all, who do you put on?
Well, Lafreniere, I'm saying. Lafreniere has...
Yeah, he is a sick one-timer. That'll help.
Listen, his one-timer hasn't been hitting. If anything, they just changed their format. They've done it before. They've moved Panarin on that side. They've rotated. Like, they just need to change the format if it's not working. They're still second in the league in power play. They've done their job in terms of getting up there in the league.
Yeah, but not lately. That number's skewed from the beginning of the season. Their power
plays, I know. I'm saying they've done their job.
Since Christmas, their power play is like 17th.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying they've done their job.
Yeah, 4-31 in their last seven games or something like that.
No, it's fine. I'm done.
Keep going. No. I'm agreeing with you, Avery. I'm fighting the good fight with you against Johnny, bro.
I thought
we were all on the same page here.
Dude, fuck that guy on the left of me.
I thought we were all on the same page.
No,
I don't
want to
take Mika off the power play. But yeah. I would like to see Lafreniere get some looks, though. Like, there was which game is it? I forgot who was in the box.
Johnny, you just interrupted Avery's rant, bro.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's fine. I just think that there's just no way you take Mika Zibanejad off. There's just no way.
We're all in agreement, dude. We're all in agreement. I think I don't think any of us want him off. He is one of the deadliest one-timers in the league. Cool. It hasn't hit for 15 games. It'll figure itself out. And also, come playoffs, you're telling me if the Rangers go on a fucking power play, you don't want Mika Zibanejad in there? Like, you're out of your mind. You're out of your mind. Yeah, because Lof is just – he's got those clutch genes, and he's going to help us score all these goals when we are down one against the Canes in game six of the Eastern – Conference Finals, right?
So no, this is no shot at Lafreniere. I think
his confidence has been incredible. Yeah,
I think he could easily fit in on that first power play, but you just don't take Mika off.
Have a player like Mika, sure, but we do have a player like
Mika. The Rangers are a top team in the league for a reason, and their power play has been a top power play in the league for a long time for a reason. You don't just switch that. You stay the course. The Rangers, and we talk about it all year. All you have to do is get in the playoffs. Anything could happen in the playoffs. Doesn't matter what seed you are. It doesn't matter how you got there. Just get in and then figure it out. You know, the power play could be dead right now, and in March, April, it gets back to where we want it to be. So I don't see any sense in complaining and trying to switch it up. I just think you stay the course with the power play that's worked for the past 5-6 seasons.
Should we go into some fan questions? Because we have a
team. Not yet.
Okay.
I want it. Were any fan questions about trades?
I'm sure.
And Keandre Miller, because I want to talk about those two things.
I don't see any trade ones. No.
Okay, we can talk about the trade ones after the fan question, but real quick, I just want to bring up Keandre Miller. And I know we talked about this in the group chat yesterday. Do you guys think it's and I know Avery's thoughts, but like specifically Johnny, do you think it's a blessing in disguise we gave him 2 years instead of giving him a big like 5-year deal that he kind of wanted? Because I don't know both of your thoughts on this, but I think he has honestly looked horrible this whole year. Like he just hasn't looked good. Like every year he shows flashes of brilliance. Yeah. Haven't seen that this year. And I think he's just gotten worse defensively. And isn't he's like not hustling. Like, I don't know what's going on. But
not too long ago, Keandre stepped away for personal reasons. So.
Right.
And none of that's come out yet. And I don't know if it ever will, but you know, clearly there's something he's dealing with mentally, and obviously it's enough where it's weighing on him. And you know, we're all human beings. Like sometimes it's tough to perform at your best when there is some stuff going on in your personal life. And you know, I'm not gonna give him a hard time for that. You know, Delzato's come on here and he's talked about his struggles when he was going through some stuff and hard times as a player. And listen, Keandre has had his moments this year where he has looked great offensively. Defense has definitely been a problem for him this year. He just hasn't been as gritty or as tough in the D zone. He's just a little too soft for his size. So you'd like to see him just kind of bear down and play a little bit more physical.
Yeah.
But there has been offensive spurts where he's looked really strong, like off the rush. You know, he made some plays in the neutral zone where he intercepts a pass and comes in and makes a play offensively. And, you know, it's led to some goals.
But he's also had a lot of giveaways, though. He's had a lot of giveaways, and he's just not hustling when it's in our own zone and things like that. And like any other year, I mean, Key's the guy who kind of, you know, lingering as well, but like they're the two guys who like grind it out. And, you know, it brings me back to when we played the Penguins in round one. I mean, like it was that entire series. It was like Key on Malkin the entire series, and he like locked him down. So, you know, the hope is this guy is an absolute shutdown perennial all-star defenseman. And it seemed after last year, it was kind of trending in that direction. And now it's almost like two steps backwards. So, you know, obviously if something is weighing on him heavily, I hope it all figures out, and, you know, I hope he'll be good. But from a fan perspective, I think it's been really tough because now you have a really tough decision, like with two trade deadlines coming up, right? Like,
Up? What do you mean?
This year and next year. They have them for 2 years. And, you know, when you're a cap strap team and you got a guy like Ryan Lindgren, whose contract's expiring as well, it's going to force you to make tough choices. And I have a irky feeling this is going to be one of those tough choices.
Yeah.
Ave?
I don't know. I as I've gotten older, I've had a tougher time micromanaging players because I know how the way they react to certain things that happen in their life off the ice, on the ice, like you just never know. But in terms of his on the ice play, yes, it hasn't been what we've expected. Like you said, we've seen the flashes, but I'm so of the, like, and I said it before, I'm so the proponent is just like get in the playoffs and find out what happens. Like who knows what could happen down the stretch.
But you can't just ignore the regular season. Like
I understand that, but also they've gotten themselves in a position where they're most likely going to make the playoffs, so it's like
knock on it.
Yeah, and I think that like every night we have to watch them and understand how they play, but also it's just like if Keandre Miller's playing bad now and he just decides to start playing better as the season gets on, like, you know,
I mean, the season's on, dude.
I hope you understand where I'm
games coming up.
I'm kind of disagreeing with Avery here.
I hope you understand where I'm going with this.
You don't know where you're going with it?
No, I hope you understand where I'm going with this. It's like,
you want him to play his best when the game is
what I'm saying with Igor. Like, it's what I'm saying with Igor. Yeah. It's the same thing. You're like, I hope he figures it out. You know, he's obviously incredible player when he's on, but he hasn't been there. The difference is, I think, with these two players is like Igor still having really good games and showing those flashes of like absolute shutdown elite goaltender, and I just haven't seen that shutdown D from Keandre that I've seen in previous years, and it's a little concerning in terms of his play. It's a little concerning.
I'm just saying he might be playing bad now, but if he starts playing good in like 2 months, it's like why are we just talking about trading him? Like why are we just talking about like getting
rid that'll be after the trade deadline. He might be gone, bro. He might be playing for San Jose with good old David Quinn then. You don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I'm kidding.
Well, either way, the Rangers have like a week break like leading into All-Star, so maybe that'll be good for him to just like kind of unwind and take his mind off of hockey, and we'll see how he comes back after All-Star weekend. I think that'll be a good mental reset for him.
Agreed. Yeah. And the last thing I'll say on this is, like, would you, if you're, you know, Laviolette, would you consider kind of swapping up those D pairs and seeing if something else could spark them a little bit? Because the D hasn't been playing good in general, right? Like, they haven't been playing good as a whole. So, like, do you consider, like, switching things around maybe and moving him with a different guy?
You know what's interesting? I was talking about it last night, and it's not who we're talking about, but, like, since Fox has come back, there's been a big drop in the impact Eric Gustafson's had. Mm-hmm. And not that he's been a liability by any means, but, like, you know, this guy was unbelievable.
Gus or Fox, you're saying?
Gus.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Gus was unfucking believable. I know he scored that goal last night, but he was unbelievable. Yeah. You know, while Fox was out, and it's clear that he plays better with more ice time. Mm. So I'd wonder what it'd be like if they threw Fox and Gus together on that top pair and then, you know, figured out another combination of
Truba Lindgren, baby.
I don't know if Truba Lindgren is the best way to go about it.
Slow skater, like, to win the league.
But maybe like a Schneider, Lindgren, Truba Miller. I mean, Truba Miller, you know, they're a pair that I don't know if they should be separated, because Truba's been really strong, and I know Truba's had a positive impact in just Keandre, like, personally. Like, I wouldn't want Miller and Schneider together. I think that'd be a disaster. Just breaking the puck out, I don't know if it'd be a good decision, because both those guys have kind of been a little bit careless with the puck in their own end, I think. So,
yeah.
I don't know, but Gus, I feel like, can get to that extra level that we've seen already this year.
Yeah. The Rangers have put themselves in a position where they have the flexibility to try different things. They're you know, first in the Metro. They're playing great, and I think that they should try different things, see what works, what's not. But I also think Laviolette might just stay the course.
Okay.
He's probably going to stay the course, if I had to guess.
Yeah. All right. So that being said, let's go into fan questions, and then after we can talk about some trade shit.
All right. First one from Bobby Christ 1. Favorite moment from this season so far, and what game would you consider game of the year so far?
Any game that I'm not at.
Yeah, you've been at shit games. I have my answer. I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go.
My favorite moment of the year so far was Lafreniere's tying goal against Columbus and then the shootout winner. I think that was awesome. That was when he was, like, at his peak of the season, and the buzz in the building that night was incredible. Like, that was a garden roar. The place absolutely erupted. And, you know, I think that was just like a full, like, he's arrived moment, even though it was against Columbus. But that's when I think everyone was kind of buying into what Lafreniere has done this year, is that game and that goal.
I like that. You guys? That's a good one. I thought the Breadman's hat trick against Tampa was awesome. Mm-hmm. They had just lost in Florida and everyone
was, you were at that game, right?
I was in the one in Florida, yeah, and then they went to Tampa, and the Red Man just dominated. I just think, like, overall his season, and Johnny, you tweeted about it earlier.
Yeah,
he's just been phenomenal. He's been everything we could ask for and more. He's shooting the puck more. He's doing different things. That no-look pass the other night was ridiculous. And yeah, he should definitely be in the conversation for Hart. I know he has been in previous years, but I think this year more than ever, he's done everything for the Rangers. Mm-hmm.
I think for me, the moment in game of the year was probably the pre-Christmas OT winner against the Bruins. I thought that game was awesome, where Vinny Trocheck netted a pair and he had that OT goal. I thought that was, you know, Vinny has had an unbelievable season this year as a Ranger. Yeah. And, you know, I know not that me and you were down on him, Johnny, but we weren't as high.
We thought he had a different role.
We weren't as high on him as Avery and, you know, the Tro. And, no, he's looked unbelievable this year, and I think that game was almost his coming out party, where, you know, he's obviously been a very good player in this league for a very long time, but I think for us as Rangers fans, that was the game that we're like, wow, if this guy is, like, really on, he can actually take over a game, and I think that's something, like, all fans can appreciate, so I thought that was an awesome moment.
Yeah, that was a big win as well. Next one from Stefan Gross. Cody, between being a new dad and a Rangers fan, your hair turning gray yet?
Nope, brown as ever.
Cody does have a great head of hair.
He does.
Thanks, boys.
And he looks stupid in hats. I don't know why he wears them all the time.
Stop wearing hats. It's really bad for your hair.
Yeah, it's actually fake news.
It's not fake news.
No, it is. It is fake news.
What is that, an Urban Outfitters hat?
What?
Where's that hat from? Urban Outfitters?
Felt. It's don't worry.
Do you have the scientific
research? You're making a little more money, you'll understand, Johnny. Don't worry.
Do you have the scientific research to prove that?
That's a gut shot.
Cody?
No, it's like fake news. You can look it up. It's like,
I don't think that's true.
Hats do not. Hats.
My mother's a hairdresser. They suffocate your head. I don't believe that. I don't believe you.
I would argue snapbacks make your hair breathe. Right here. My hair's breathing.
Dude, your hair's breathable when you have nothing on it.
It's also breathable right now. Bro, you wear your hat like this, dude. Your hats are basically floating on your head, dude. Your whole head's breathing when you wear your hats.
I'm going to do the research on this and come back.
Do it. Do it.
Next one, Pat Bone 4. Is the 4-game slide a sign of possible playoff inconsistency?
No. No, the playoffs are so different than the regular season. Absolutely not.
I agree with Avery, Cody.
I'm trying to find the answer for this.
I don't think it matters. They could. I think all that matters in terms of playoffs right now is the last month of the season. The Rangers are hot, and that to me is the only thing that matters.
And like the 4-game slide, it's like the only lull they've really had. You know, it's not like the inconsistency. Yes, it's been worse as of late, but you know, the last couple games have been better. And they've always bounced back. So I think every time they've had a bad lapse, they've found a way to come back. And also, like, you know, this team has had so many different roster moves and guys being called up. And, you know, the roster hasn't really been so consistent. So I think that's also something to play in a factor as well. The next one, Polly Carms. Who's one player you really want to film a skate with, Johnny? And also good to have you guys back. Missed it. I really want to do one with Bread if we're doing Rangers, obviously. He's the funniest fucking guy, man. That guy.
I'd love to do one with Oscar Lindbergh.
Oscar Lindbergh? Where'd you pull that name from?
What?
Well, we played the Kraken last night, so.
He's not on the team.
I'm aware, dude.
Isn't he on St. Louis?
Bro, they took him in the expansion draft, you ding-dong.
No, that was Vegas.
Oh, fuck, dude. I'm losing track of time. Yeah. Wait a second. That was Vegas. Oh my god, that's crazy. Yeah. Wait, who did the Kraken take from us?
Blackwell, maybe?
Blackwell.
Oh, you're
Blackwell.
Right. You're right. Oh yeah. My god. Wow. Dude, yeah. We have too many teams.
Yeah, I think Blackwell.
High flies. Holy cow. Yeah. Vegas is what, 4 years now?
Dude, this is year 7.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Nuts. Oh, and we still don't have a cup.
All right. Next one from Anthony Governale. Good 2 wins. Do we need more depth on D at the deadline? D has been scary last 4 weeks.
Well, it's so nice you ask. So,
There's one more part to it. Is it just me, but in a lot of these games, it feels we are too cute and not enough shooting?
Dude, before you answer, that just made me so mad. Thinking about how Vegas has a cup and they just like,
it's fucking infuriating. It's literally infuriating.
I don't even think about that often. But
do they have a cup, dude. They've made the finals twice.
Yeah,
dude, that's
conference final 4 times.
That's so bad.
It's really, really bad. Like,
someone definitely buried something under MSG, like some type of hex,
voodoo.
Yeah,
someone
sold their soul for the 94 cup. Like, someone was like, if you let us have this, the Rangers can't win for the next like 100 years.
Well, hopefully we break that this year, because
I hope so.
This has got to be the year. I mean, there's a lot of good teams, but this has got to be the year. But we'll talk about that after. But speaking of the deadline, I said in our group chat, you know, to the five of us, us three and our two other buddies, you know, I think our biggest missing piece right now is one more good defender. And I know Avery feels that it should be a winger. And I don't know where Johnny stands there. And the thing to keep in mind here is we don't have that much cap space. Given it seems like Keitel's going to come back at some point. We don't really know, but it seems like he's maybe he'll come back end of March or something like that. He's probably still a little bit away, but
well, it's funny. I mean, we can just build off this, but Shane Fitz, one of his question was thoughts on Hito coming back, and if he comes back, what would the Rangers trade for? So we can
set it. So perfect. So, you know, I think based on kind of where Hito is in his rehab, he's probably about 4 or 5 weeks away if like all goes well.
What maybe makes you say that?
Well, dude, he's literally just, what do you mean? He just started skating and now he like Think about it. Anytime a player
He's been skating by himself. He has. Been.
Yes, but he just started skating with other people. And when a player starts, you know, throwing on their red, the red contact jersey and starts skating around and nobody can touch him, it's usually about 4 or 5 weeks out.
Look, I just like the doctor in you that was like, he's probably 4 or 5 weeks away because you saw one fucking post on Instagram.
Yeah. Cody, have you done any brain scans on Filipino?
No, I'm kidding. But hopefully he doesn't get another concussion, though. Seriously. But anyways, now I forgot. I don't even want to answer this question anymore. It's done.
Well, because you're a doctor all of a sudden?
No, I'm not a doctor. I'm just saying, based on injuries, when a guy puts on red jerseys, they're usually between 4 to 6 weeks out. Always.
He didn't put on a red jersey with the team. He has the red jersey.
I know, dude, but he's going to come back ready to fucking go. He's probably – when do you think he's coming back?
I think they might just take their time with him and wait till the playoffs, like maybe the last 5 games of the year.
I mean, that's
– But I'm not saying he's 4 or 5 weeks away. Like he could have been – when the injury happened, he could have been a month. He could have been 2 weeks. Like, I think,
bro, you said it was going to be you. You texted our group chat saying it's a week to 2 weeks. You fuck.
Well, because that's what a concussion usually
I'm trying to get these LTIR benefits, brother. I hope they hold him out until he's like fully ready.
If they hold him out, they hold him out. I'm not saying, like, I said probably. I didn't say he's for sure coming back. I said probably 4 to 5 weeks out. Did I not? Is that not what I said?
You, doctor.
You cracked me up.
You're welcome.
Now I forgot what we were saying before.
Yeah.
Yo, bro, where's your stethoscope, bro?
Dude, it's right next to your referee shirt, you fucking bozo.
All right, should we go to the next one?
Yeah.
All right. Jonathan Catcher, do you think Wheeler will ever get top 6 minutes again with Kako back?
Kako would have to, like, really play bad, I feel like.
I wouldn't think it'd be consistent time. I think maybe like for a game or two, they'd throw him back up there if something happens like they did earlier in the year. But I don't think Wheeler's going to see consistent top 6 minutes.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think it would have to be like an in-game adjustment almost type thing. But that third line didn't look that bad last night. I thought they had on that goal. It was really nice. Yeah.
They played great. Johnny Brodzinski was awesome last night.
Yeah, yeah. They were moving the puck well on that goal. And they were just consistent in the offensive zone. I think that's a strong line. And I think that once you add Filipino back in the mix, whenever that may be, Cody, this team's going to be really good.
Yeah, I agree. Next one, JC Merlino. This is a two-parter, I think. Are upside-down sports team logos on hats cool? And then, but seriously, where do you guys stand on Miller? Seeing a lot of hate on fan pages.
Wait, I think that was a shot at Cody because
it was.
He's
Cody's boy. Yeah,
he's one of my friends, and he's an idiot. But yo, seriously though, I think first of all, I know Johnny likes that shit because he's worn like 3 different hats with upside down logos. The clutch hat, bro. I know your hats better than you.
Well, the B clutch hat there, it's not upside down. It's just like backwards. The B, that's it.
It kind of looks upside down.
Okay, whatever. Continue.
All right. Anyways, answer the question. I know Avery's answer. So
we talked about it kind of already, didn't we? About Kadri Miller.
Did we?
Are you talking to me?
We literally talked about Kadri Miller for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, I was asking about the first part of the question.
Oh, the upside down logos on hats. I think they're cool.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Done.
Yeah. It depends.
Done. Yeah. Done. Okay. Done. Right. Suck it, Joe. All right.
Chris is neck deep. Is the tailgate for the MetLife game happening? I know Avery's working on that.
All right, I'm working on it, but there may be a slight issue. I may have to go back to Puerto Rico that weekend, which is up in the air. Yeah. I mean, I say like it's a bad thing, but I definitely want to be there. I know that we are still working on it. I want it to happen. I think it would be amazing. I think it'd be something that we've dreamed of, but I'm still working on logistics for that. I'll probably know within like the next, I'll know before February 1st.
Okay.
If it's happening or not.
All right. We'll definitely.
All right.
This one's for Cody, Jamiola 94. Sup with the Stadium Series jerseys.
Dude, don't even get me started. I'm convinced Johnny like knows and he's just being a hardo about
it. I have no idea.
Rumor has it, and this rumor is from Reddit, so it could for sure not be a real rumor, but that each team is doing a 2-color jersey. So it's like The Devils are going to have a black jersey with an all red logo. The Rangers are going to have like a white jersey with an all blue logo. The Flyers are going to have an orange jersey with an all black logo. And then the Islanders are going to have, I think it was like orange jersey with the purple logo or something like that. But that was really the only rumor I heard on that. Could be totally false. I don't know. And I think it's ridiculous considering they missed out on both Christmas sales and New Year sales. Yeah. And now they're going to miss out on Valentine's sales because Avery has a broken heart. So I don't know what to tell you guys.
Where are you getting all these rumors from, Cody?
Reddit, dude. Reddit talks.
All right.
What do you guys think?
I haven't heard anything.
Like, are they coming out with these things?
I haven't heard a single word about it.
Dude, I'll take all your lunch money if you don't just tell us.
So I don't know. I have no idea. But tomorrow, we're a month out. So maybe tomorrow?
Well, similar to the red contact jersey theory, they usually release jerseys a month out. Right? Isn't that a thing? Like,
I have no idea. I don't really pay attention to the jersey release stuff.
Aren't you the one who said they released the alternates like a month before the season? I'm pretty sure that was you.
I don't know.
Dude, you got to stop taking CBD gummies, bro. Holy shit.
All right. Next one. Bunce podcast. And I don't really know this reference, but I'm sure Cody Wilkes, he's probably in this category. Is going to
it's
check
so funny training? To say that because you literally announce this podcast full name every single time they ask a question, and now you're pretending you don't know. So just saying.
What? No, that's no. I'm saying what the question is.
Oh, okay.
I know what the podcast is.
All right.
The question I'm saying.
Okay.
Is Hedl going to check yet to train with Jager, the NHL equivalent of Luke going to Dagobah to train with Yoda?
It's Dagobah. And yeah,
I think Avery's the Star Wars guy.
Yeah. I don't know why you asked Cody that. No, yeah.
I feel like Cody's the Star Wars guy.
Oh, dude, I'm the Marvel guy, bro.
Got it.
I think that's a great reference.
Avery loves Star Wars, dude. He just went to Disney World and rode all the rides. How do you not know this?
Awesome. Dude, I love Star Wars.
He literally wore like a Wookiee outfit there.
I love Star Wars. I actually just rewatched the first 4, 5, and 6 this weekend. So I 100% agree with that reference. I think that's a great analogy. And yeah, Hedl going back. It for you guys who don't know, it's
yeah,
Luke,
I don't know.
the young Luke Skywalker goes to Yoda, who is the Jedi Master, to train to be a Jedi. So
okay,
the young Philip Hedl goes to check to see Jager, the Jedi Master, and Jager teaches the young.
Avery, you know what, man? I feel bad for you because you've talked about in our group chat at least like 10 different times Star Wars references, and Johnny just ignores it. Like it's a little fucked up, dude. Like
it's okay.
You talked about rewatching The Mandalorian, and you talked about
I don't watch that, so why would I?
I mean, you want to talk about? Yeah, I you should watch it. It's some of the greatest cinema of all time. It was way ahead of its time.
If it's not an Adam Sandler movie, Johnny doesn't know it. That's true.
That's a fact.
Star Wars isn't kosher, Johnny.
All right. The last.
I don't know where I went with that. I'm joking.
Whatever. Yeah. The last one for today. Holton 67. What happened to Mika this season? He isn't the same old Mika. He looked fucking great last night.
Yeah. I mean, he looked phenomenal last night.
Yeah. I thought last night might have been his best game of the year, to be honest.
Their expectations are so high. Like, I think you just have to realize that they can't be the same guy every single night. Unless you have McDavid, McKinnon, Leon Draisaitl, you're not going to get every single night just like God mode.
Mika also has 41 points in 43 games.
I was just going to say, like, the guys on track for 81 points this year and 27 goals. And, like, yeah. Last year aside, where he obviously had 91 points, I mean, 81 points would tie his second most in his career. And I think he's playing pretty high IQ hockey. He's just not hitting his, if he was hitting his one timers, he'd have a chance to be on track for 100 points this year. So like it'll come. I mean, I think that's like a kind of a lost battle to fight. Cause I think Mika's been really good player this year. Personally, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he's been as good as, you know, in previous years, but he's been fine. I, you know, again, fine, not exceptional.
I mean, we have five guys on track to be point per game players. Like, I don't think that we should be nervous about any of our top guys right now. I think Mika, 14 goals, 27 assists, plus +7 rating. He's been, I think he's been phenomenal. Like, he is top three in the team in power play goals, but he's not. You got Kreider, Trocheck, and Panarin with 9, and then Trocheck and Panarin both have 8. So typically you'd see Mika on top there with Kreider, and he's not. So Give it a little bit more time. I think everybody will come back around on Mika if you're not already around on him.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for fan questions. You guys have any final thoughts before we wrap it
up? Just the trade deadline. I just want to hear. First and foremost, it's still ridiculous that every year they keep pushing back the trade deadline further and further.
They push it back.
Dude, it's always been like the last couple of years, March 1st, and now it's March 8th. So
damn.
I feel like it's usually been around that time.
It's always been March 1st. Like in 2023 and 2022, it was March 1st, and now this year it's March 8th. So that it just slowly keeps going. And I think before that it was like February 27th or something like that. So I don't know. It keeps going back and back, and like it's interesting when you don't have a lot of cap money and you got to trade for rentals, like you're getting them for less and less games. So I wonder if that'll do anything for the value. But regardless, give me three names, and Rangers' two biggest needs, I think we all agree, are a winger and a defenseman. Are there two needs, right?
Defenseman, winger, and a third line center, I'd say, regarding Hedl. Depends on what Hedl, you know, happens to him.
Assuming Hedl comes, I think they need a defenseman.
I have two names, and one I think we've talked about a ton, Frank Vetrano, even though he has 1 year left on his deal. If they could find a way to get him, that'd be awesome. He's made it very public that he loves playing in New York. So if they can make that happen, that'd be great. And then a low-key one, like someone that could step in while Hedl's out, if he's out for a longer term, is Sean Monahan. You know, as like a third-line center, I think that's just a name that isn't a big name as big as it was when he was in Calgary and he was lighting it up. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's still an effective player, a bigger guy, physical guy, plays a net front. And I think he'd be like a good third-line center target. But those are the two that I have. I don't really have a defenseman in mind.
Okay.
You?
Yeah, I'm going to let Avery go first, and then I'll go.
I'm not too well-versed on, like, who's on the market and who's not. I think, like Johnny said, a lot of it is dependent on if Hedl's coming back. Like, then we would for sure have to add another center. But if Hedl does come back, I think you just look to add another stronger, faster winger in that bottom six spot. And then, yeah, maybe another defenseman. We've been talking about shuffling the lines, like maybe throw somebody in the mix. Obviously, like the number one kind of guy you'd want to get is like a Chychrun type, but if you have to go a little bit lower end than that, sure. But regardless, I think this lineup's great. I don't have any issues with the lineup right now. I think that they all could perform better when they're at their highest. We saw what they can do. You know, pre-Christmas, this team was probably the best we've seen in a long, long time. So There's no reason why they can't replicate that down the stretch. But yeah, you always have to add guys. You look at teams that have gone the stretch. They've always added guys. You need depth. Things happen in the playoffs, injuries, whatnot. So I think that adding some depth at the bottom, even more than we already have now, considering Pitlick and Hedl are out, would be necessary for sure.
I want to read off Frank Staravalli's trade target list. Yeah, one, he has Elias Lindholm 1, Sean Monahan 2, Chris Tanev 3, Trevor Zegras 4, Cody's Noah Hanifin 5, Tony D'Angelo 6.
You didn't Adam even let Henry, me say my two guys.
Adam Henrique 7. Well, I'm gonna let, I know.
That was
I'm
my,
let
you go that was that. My second naming, guy.
Andre Kuzmenko 8. Sean Walker 9, Jacob Chychrun 10, Peter Mrazek, Jake Allen, Alexander Barrier, Nick Seeler, Kevin Hayes, Jack Rossovic, another Cody guy, Morgan Frost, Jordan Greenway, Mike Hoffman, and Ilya Samsonov at 20. I won't continue the rest, but those are some of the names that are out there.
It doesn't even – Morgan Frost is weird to me because the Flyers are doing great, so it doesn't add – I don't even know if he'll get moved. That doesn't add up to me. But I think maybe him and Tortorella aren't seeing eye to eye or some shit. But you said two of the guys who I want. Obviously, Vetrano would be great. I know I mentioned Anthony Duclair as well. I think a reunion with him could be cool. But, you know, the two guys who I think could really help this team this year, obviously, I said Noah Hanifin. He would feel like he would cost a lot. You'd have to kind of work out the cap there. But another guy you said is another Duck who I would be really interesting is Adam Henrique. I mean, he's owed 5-5, but – you know, given the trade deadline, obviously some of that cap's depleted. And then I wonder if the Ducks would take on some of that cap. He's a guy who has 11 goals and 14 assists or 13 assists, 24 points on pace for just under 50. And, you know, he's a guy who can come in and score goals, give the Rangers what they need, which is goals. And he's a guy who can play center and slot in there on the third line if you don't know what's going on with Hedl. So,
if I told you both 10 years ago that the Rangers would go out and get Jonathan Quick and Adam Henrique in the same season, how would you react?
Damn.
I mean, you'd be like, well, you'd be like, yeah. I mean, you wouldn't be a fan of it, but you know, Adam Henrique's kind of been around the block since then. So
yeah.
I think his did the Devils trade him or did he go?
Yeah, he got traded for Sammy Vatanen.
Right. He was part of that trade. So, you know, I'm sure he would love.
It's just funny to think about, you know.
Yeah.
Like those two guys.
It is. It is. And also Hayes is on the chopping block too, I think for St. Louis. So there's a lot of guys the Rangers could look at for reunion. It's just everything kind of lies in Hedl's hands right now because it's what they do with him, and that's going to be the extent of their money. So
Hanifin's been awesome, and he's logging a lot of minutes this year.
Jordy's been saying that for a while.
He's logging more minutes than any Ranger right now. He's about 23 minutes a game, and he's projected to blow past last year's stats. He has he had 38 points last year. I think he has 23 this year already through 44 games.
Yep. Right. He's a really good player.
Let's wrap it up, though, boys, because I'm fucking starving. My stomach's screaming right now. I need to make some food.
Bro's growling. All right. It's good to see you guys. It is.
Yeah.
Same time next month.
We should do this more. You guys around Sunday to record? We should record Sunday. There's a lot of games this weekend. The West Coast.
Trip. Yeah, I'm down.
Could be.
Yo, guess what I'm doing again this week?
Going to Puerto Rico.
Going to Puerto Rico.
Going to Disney.
Oh.
Are you?
That's actually sick. Yeah. I'm so
excited. What's your top ride, dude?
So I didn't get to do them all when I went last, but
let's keep it going a little more. Like
I'm definitely doing the Guardians of the Galaxy ride.
I really want to hang up.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
You need a nap, dude. Your eyes are like shutting as you're talking.
I'm tired. I'm hungry, and I still have.
All right. Love you guys. Later.
I love you guys.
Say it, Cody.
Cody, say it.
LFGR, baby.